Hello, and welcome to the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Learn more about worship, discipleship ministries, and social justice outreach online at hennepinchurch.org. This is the sermon podcast for the traditional worship service on March 19th, 2017. The scripture reading is Matthew 6, 1-18, and the preacher is Reverend Judy Zabel.
Soy religion. Be careful that you don't practice your religion in front of people to draw their attention. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't blow a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the streets so they may get praise from people. I assure you, that's the only reward they will get. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that may be a gift to the poor in secret. Your Father who sees what you do in secret will reward you. Show a prayer. When you pray, don't be like hypocrites. They love to pray, stand in street corners so that people will see them. I assure you, that's the only reward they will get. But when you pray, don't go to your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Proper prayer. When you pray, don't pour out a flood of empty words, as the Gentiles do. They think that by saying many words, they'll be heard. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom so that your will is done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us the bread we need for today, and forgive us the ways we have wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive others their sins, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your sins. Show me fasting. And when you fast, don't put on a sad face like the hypocrites. They distort their faces so people will know that they are fasting. I assure you, it's the only reward they will get. It's the only reward they'll have. But when you fast, brush your hair and wash your face. Then you won't look like you are fasting to people, but only your Father who is present in that secret place. Your Father who sees you in secret will reward you.
The word of God for the people of God. Thank you so much, children. So, do you know this phrase? Caesarion and Gera. Caesarion and Gera. Could you say that? Caesarion and Gera. Caesarion and Gera. Do you know what that means? That is a Maasai greeting. The Maasai tribe, children, are from the Kenya region in Africa. And the Maasai always come up to people and they say, Caesarion and Gera. Caesarion and Gera. Caesarion and Gera. And you know what that means? Do you know what that means, friends? It means, how are the children? How are the children? You see, the Maasai tribe in Africa, in Kenya, know that when the children are well, all the children are well, then all is well with the community. All is well with the tribe. And it is their highest value. And so not only do they say it in the morning when they wake up, Caesarion and Gera, but they say it many, many times of the day so that people remember always to keep in the forefront of their mind that question, that powerful and important question that Jesus asks us to remember today. So how are the children? All the children are well at Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church. Did you love that cantata? Wasn't that beautiful? But not all the children are well, and it would do us well in this world to continue to ask that question, how are the children? How are all all the children of the world. When I was in Sunday school many, many years ago, we learned a song. Jesus loves the little children. How many of you learned that one? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Come on, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world, all the children of the world. That was a game changer in Jesus' day. You know why? Because children weren't regarded very highly. They were just property. In fact, lots of children didn't live to the age of 5 because if there was a girl, for instance, some of them were just left out in the to be exposed in the elements, and they died. Children were seen as farmhands. Children were just like little property, and they were not seen, and they were not heard, and they didn't matter very much in Jesus' day. So when the disciples saw the children coming, and they were doing what children do, which I love, they were wiggling. And they were laughing and giggling, and some of them, I bet, were even singing, just saying. And they were doing what children do in the wonderful, bubbly energy that they have that comes from God who loves them. Jesus said, hey, you know what? Let the children come to me. Let them all come to me. And you can just picture Jesus sitting there on a rock or on a place there with his disciples gathered around. He pushes his disciples back a little bit and said, let those children come to me. Come and sit in my lap. What does that have to do with our secret life? It seems to me that there are times when we forget. You know, I read this passage and I kind of struggled with it a little bit this week because this passage talks about people who are kind of braggy about their faith. Did you notice that? It says, don't be like the hypocrites who stand in the places in the city and kind of pretend to pray long prayers and people drawing attention to themselves. Don't be like those folk who, when they're fasting, they make sure everybody knows about it. Don't be like those people who are around who are praying and fasting and giving and they make sure everybody knows about it so they can get lots of accolades and clapping and everybody goes, ooh, ah. But you know what? I have been serving congregations for a long time, 30 years. I'm getting old. But one thing I noticed in the 30 years that I've served congregations, United Methodist churches all around the state of Minnesota, I've noticed that Minnesotans are not very braggy. It's probably because we have the Twins and the Vikings. I don't know. Maybe if we were watching the Yankees, we'd be braggy like those New Yorkers. But we're not like that, are we? We're kind of humble folk. We don't brag so much. And in fact, we sometimes are like, no, we'd rather just do what Jesus said there and keep our mouths shut about our faith. We kind of hide our lights under the bushels. Because Jesus said that too, didn't he, in the Sermon on the Mount? Don't hide your light under the bushel because you need to open up that bushel so people can see your light so everyone will know what the works that you do in glory to God so they give glory to God in heaven. You know that verse? Well, we just as soon put that aside and do what Jesus is talking about today. We're very, very humble. The thing I've noticed about this passage is that Jesus talks about the hypocrites. And you know, hypocrites were pretenders. They pretended. They were actors. Do you know, kids, do you ever play pretend? Do you ever pretend? Yeah? Sometimes we used to pretend that we were shopkeepers, and when I was a kid, we would check out things. All of our toys were checked out at the checkout counter. Did you ever do that? What do you pretend? What do you pretend? You don't pretend? Oh, you should, because it's kind of fun. Well, you know what? Jesus was talking about people who pretend to be faithful, but have sort of kind of gotten disconnected with their relationship with God. They're so busy pretending to be spiritual and religious that they've forgotten their connection with the one who loves them best. So when I started looking at this passage in that way, I began to wonder, what happens when we get disconnected from God's call to love all the children of the world? I had a church in my district when I was a district superintendent, and I went in there. It was kind of a small church. They had about 50 people in worship, and I came to meet with their staff parish relations team, and I said, it's time for a new pastor, and we're trying to select a pastor. Tell me about your church. And they began to tell me about the programs and things they did. They like to do Meals on Wheels, which is a good thing. We should fund it, I'm just saying. They were telling me how they fed the hungry, and they told me about flu shots, and they told me about the rummage sale, and they told me about a couple Bible studies they had, and they told me about a whole bunch of things, and they were wonderful people. And then I said, well, how about the Sunday school? Silence in the room. And they said to me, we don't have a Sunday school. I said, what do you mean you don't have a Sunday school? They said, we don't have any children. You see, that church, filled with wonderful people, were pretending kind of to be a church because they forgot their mission. And you know what the mission is? The greatest mission of a church, any church on this earth, the greatest mission of the church, the most important thing of the church, is to make sure that every child, red and yellow, black and white, knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are precious in God's sight. And so I said that to them in so many words. And you know what they did? They decided that they would become a church for children. They didn't have any children. But they decided they were going to become a church that loved the little children of the world. And so you know what they did with their pastor, Jerry? They called up the elementary school in their neighborhood. They called up the principal and they said, we'd like to love your children. We're not doing this so we could survive as a church. We're not doing this so we could get more members. We're doing this because we know that Jesus loves the little children of the world, and we want to love your children like our own. So these elderly folks, all of them, I think over 80, they decided that they were going to adopt that elementary school. And you know what they started doing? Showing up. They started showing up. They went to the school play. They didn't have any kids in that school, but they stood up at the end of the program and went, yes, that was great. They started going to that elementary school basketball games. Sure enough, they did. And elementary school band concerts. You can imagine how fun that was. And they went to everything that that school offered. And then they went to the teachers and they said, you know what, teachers? We don't have any children in this school because all the children are our children. And you have been entrusted with these kids by God. And we want to honor you and support you. So what do you need? And some of the teachers said, well, you know, I don't have enough pencils. I don't have enough crayons. We don't have enough books in our classroom. We don't have enough this or that. And so they said, well, we'll get them for you. And that little church of 50 people started to supply that school and supply those teachers. But then they did something else. They said to the teachers, we're going to pray for you. Now, we want your first names, your last names, if you're willing to give it to us, and then we're gonna pray for your classrooms. We're going to pray for your children. And they started praying every day. They just made this promise that they were going to pray every single day. They didn't go out into the streets and pray, but they went in their prayer closet with God, and they got reconnected to God's call to love the children of the world, all of them, red and yellow, black and white, because they knew that they are precious in God's sight. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Yes. Now, what happened? What would happen in our country if every one of us said, we're going to get connected back into our secret life with God that will fuel our ministry? That will fuel the way that we do life together in this nation, in our communities, in our neighborhood, with the kids on the street, with school down the road. What would happen in our world if we continually asked our legislators, our presidents, our senators, our congressmen and women, how are the children? Can we answer that all the children are well? No, we cannot. There are children today who are living homeless in our streets, under the bridges. About 36 children come to community meals here at Hennepin. You see that food out in the fellowship hall in Carlson Hall? Some of them will receive it and eat it because they don't have enough food. Why is it in the most affluent country in the world we still have children who are hungry? how are the children? How are the children? We still have children who are falling through the cracks, who are not reading at grade level, who don't know where their next meal is coming. They come to school empty-stomached, trying to learn. Some of the kids are experiencing violence in the home. How would you feel? How could you concentrate? How could you ever concentrate on learning how to read if you saw your mom's boyfriend hit your mom the night before? So how are the children? All the children are well? Not yet. We have to continually ask that question when we're thinking about how we'll take care of our environment. How will the children be if we pollute our rivers and lakes and waterways? How will the children be if they sit next to a little one whose parents came from Mexico and have been disappeared during the night? How are our children? This week, my car went bad. It was sad, very sad. I was driving down the street. I was coming over to Hennepin. Actually, I was going over to see the bishop. That's right, I was. And I was riding, and I was driving my car, and all of a sudden, all of the lights went on my dashboard. Not good. I pulled over and I waited, and what happened was the bolt that holds the alternator bracket fell off, hit my radiator, made a hole in that, and the thing was a mess. But I got it in because AAA, I called them, they came, got my car, and they fixed it, and it drives nicely now. Then I drove up into the gas station and filled up my tank. Jesus says in this passage, we got to fill our tanks. We can get disconnected. All the lights can go on our dashboards of life as we're seeking to make the world a better place for children. And the truth of the matter is, we can forget our purpose. We can start to think that our greatest purpose is to tuck point this church. Guess what? We need to tuck point the church, but no child ever knew that they were loved by God because we had nice tuck pointing. Just saying. You know, we're starting the Steps of Faith campaign, and we are raising about $4.7 million as our big miracle goal. I think God can do it, don't you? Here's why. It's going to create a future for our children. We are not raising money to tuck point the church. We are raising money to create a church that is for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So that every child who walks through these doors will know that they are loved by God. So that when anyone would ask any of our children in this neighborhood, the ones who are living under the bridge, and the ones that are hungry, the ones who are failing in school, when anyone would ask, so how are the children? The people would answer, all the children are well, because Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church loves children. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? We must never forget this is our mission, to introduce children and the next generation to God who loves them, God who will hold them through life, God who will lead them through hard times, God who will celebrate their joys, God who will be with them in their baptisms and their confirmations and their weddings. No matter what, God will be with them. And when we ask the question, so how are the children? We will all answer together, all the children are well. Can you do that? How are the children, Hennepin?
All the children are.
How are the children?
All the children are.
Red and yellow, black and white. Each and every one precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. And when we forget that, we go back into our prayer closet. And we open up our hearts and our minds so God can pour in those truths back into us. When we go to those places where we forget and we just become pretenders, We fast from those things that are getting in the way, so that God can have a way with us, so God can move in us and fill us with the Holy Spirit and remind us why we exist. We exist for all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in our sight because they are precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Do you believe that you could change the world?
Yes.
Do you believe you can change the world? God changes the world through each one of us when we connect up with God. When we pray prayers that open ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit, God can do amazing things. I learned about somebody this week. I've just discovered this little boy named Robbie Novak. Do you guys know Robbie Novak? He's kid president. Aha, you do know him. Well, Robbie Novak is a little boy who has a disease that makes his bones brittle. But he got a friend who started to make these funny little videos with him, and they're called Kid President. They're awesome, and they're funny, and you should go on YouTube. You can watch them anytime. There's a whole bunch of different topics. And Robbie Novak believes, as I do, that God can change the world through us. Take a look.
There are lots of ideas how you can change the world. Some people think you should just complain about it. I won't change the world, it'll just make it mad. Some people think you have lots of money. Make it rain everywhere you go. Holler for a dollar. Some people think you have to be really loud and yell a lot. It's like with a bullhorn shouting.
Hey you, yeah you, get my way right now.
You heard? Other people choose to just make fun of everything. That's dumb. Everyone's dumb. It's easier to make fun of stuff, but it's cooler to make stuff. Some people think changing the world can only be done by the smartest person in the world. Just put them in a room, let them figure it out. The solution of world hunger? Food. So amazing. Some people see the bad in the world and they just decide to ignore it. But that won't help anything. Some people think you have to be really famous and super cool. In fact, lots of people think you have to be really powerful to make a difference. Like being mayor, or senator, or president. The truth is, a title doesn't make you more important. The world is changed by you. It's one person filled with love. And they just have to live it out, so they do something awesome. Then that person is filled with love, and they do something awesome. It just goes on and on and on and on. And the next thing you know, everything's awesome. Some people think it's impossible to change the world.
It's impossible to change the world.
Well, you can see why they could think that. Living in the world with kids who are hungry, people who are homeless, families weren't happy. I'm just trying to figure it out like everybody else, man. I do know this, though. Next time you feel overwhelmed or totally alone, remember this. Things don't have to be the way they are. The world is changed by ordinary people. Little people living out big love.
Friends, the world is changed by little people like you and me with big love. When you forget that, go into your prayer closet and pray. Ask God how you might give. Ask God how might you pray for the children of the world. And then think about how you might fast. What would you fast from this week in order to make the world a better place for our kids? God can do amazing things with little people and a big love. So how are the kids? All the children are well. May it be so. May it be so. Amen.
This has been a presentation from the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Copyright 2017. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.